The message for us today is freedom, God's love gift. Our text is Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 7 verses. Moses is the spokesman here. And now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Saints, we believe today that God is the author and the source of all true freedom. He gives it to individuals. He gives it to nations, and he is that source. As Moses writes here, speaking of the commandments and the statutes and judgments of God, they were blessed and successful because and only when they were observant of the Lord's principles. And so were their possessions and their lands. And whatever he had given them, they could only possess it truly as they obeyed his commands. Thank God that he does give them to nations. Thank God that he did give them to America as well through the Puritans and other leaders who came over, but those who at Plymouth Rock who established, declared, Christian land here for the United States of America. You know, when he talks about fearing the Lord, surely that word oftentimes we realize is translated to speak of reverence for God and having that holy awe of him. But for those who do not obey his statutes and who don't keep his judgments and who don't seek him, there is that true fear that we are to have of him. He is the awesome God. I guess it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. So he commands us. So he says, therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe these statutes. And where are they being observed today in our world? Not in a lot of places, not in a lot of lands and countries. Everybody's jumping ship for what they think is the real deal. And like I always say, that God is the reality and we are the illusion. And people are allowing themselves to be deceived about so much. And they're going after this world like wildfire. But he said, be careful to observe it. May His Holy Spirit counsel us today to be careful to observe the things that God speaks to us. So whether we live or die, we know we are the Lord's. Amen? Hallelujah. But the Lord also promises that He will multiply them. God multiplies us in various ways as He makes us a blessing. And we find that we're storing up in heaven treasure as we exercise the godly freedom that His great love has given to us. Amen? Hallelujah. The freedom to do right, the freedom to be right, the freedom to love God with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. Because that's what Jesus said it. He asked the mind as for where. Here Moses didn't quite say that, but he was saying what God had for him then. The hero, Lord, hero Israel, the Lord your God, is one. Not many gods, one. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I don't know anyone who's ever explained the mystery of the Trinity. I think there's still some things to be revealed. Of course, I remember how Paul is writing over there in 1 Corinthians 13. And around the last verse, he says something like, when the perfect is come, then shall we know even also as we are known. But I'm thinking about God, who does not exist necessarily in the universe, because He created the universe. So I conclude He must live outside the universe, or the highest heaven there is, and far beyond the universe, high above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Amen? Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. And so, He said you have to love the Lord. And Jesus chastised the church over there in the third chapter of Revelation when He said you are to return to your first love, your best love, and do your first works over again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And I love the way He said, these words which I command you today. Moses is giving a command. It's a command. Amen. Shall be in your heart. And that's the only way the heart grows cold, when it's not in our hearts. And Jesus says in the last days, the hearts of men would grow cold. These words I command you. And then you are to teach them diligently to your children. And so when I think about how much is failing in our nation and world, it's because I believe our children are not being diligently taught at home about the commandments and the precepts and principles of the Almighty God. I like to encourage parents always got some trouble with that child, you know, go in there when he's asleep, lay your hands on him, pray in the spirit over him. You'd be amazed at what God will do. Amen? I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But this week, the hearts of Americans unite in the celebration of Memorial Day. And our nation set this day aside to remember and to honor the lives of those who have fallen in battle, those who died fighting our nation's wars. Brethren, they died, you know, fighting to protect us and to preserve what we have and the freedom we have that America has enjoyed for almost 240 years now. Every Sunday before Memorial Day, Christians and churches around our nation commemorate Memorial Day, you might ask, well, why do we do that? To many, if not most Americans, it's just another day to be off. A three-day weekend, another day to barbecue, have good food, relax, and watch movies. And that's okay, and we celebrate what God has given us. But then there are those who don't so much feel that because they lost someone because of a war or because of military action. And many we think about today how they are returning in such serious shape. Those who themselves have personally suffered the physical, emotional, psychological trauma that's associated with the devastation of war and military action. For them, it means much, much more than a day off. In fact, out of a sense of patriotism to our country, every American should honor this day for which many have spilt their blood to make and keep America free and strong. It is because many have bled and died for this country that we might have the freedom to assemble and to publicly worship and openly celebrate what God has given us, that we might have the right to own, to read, preach, and teach the Bible, the Holy Scripture, as the Word of God. Although there are those in seats of power who are out to eliminate this constitutional right and to further remove the ethical, moral, and godly influence of God's Word from the public arena. For example, recently you might remember how the mayor of Houston was requiring pastors to turn in their sermons to be reviewed or whatever they wanted to do with them. But it was all a part to try to protect that mayor, particular mayor, from hate speech of what she imagined was going on and what was coming across the pulpits. Outside of telling you the truth about the world condition today, we do have the gospel that we preach to you as well. So hopefully she got a dose of it and got tired of reading all those sermons. But I think they were just piling her desk full of them. And that's like every year there are thousands of pastors who send their sermons to the IRS because, you know, they'll kind of see, is this, what you going to do about our 501c3 if we say something about what's going on in our world? And so we thank God for those who are bullish for the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's because of so many who bled and died for our country that we, out of a true sense of patriotism, should honor this day for which many have, as I said, died, that the right to live at peace in our own homes may not be lost altogether. And who knows, maybe the threatened right to aspire, dream, and pursue happiness, prosperity, and success can once again be realized by those who will to sacrifice to keep it. We are to be eternally thankful to God for those men and women who paid that ultimate sacrifice to make us free, to keep us free. And it's amazing that many who sign up every day to go into the military forces just to do that, to keep you and me free. So Memorial Day is observed as a day to honor the fallen of our nation's wars, a time when our country pauses to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom that we enjoy. We owe them and all those who served with them far more than we will ever, ever realize. And as the season in which we traditionally remember those who died for our national freedom is here, it just might be imperative in the light of the fallen conditions in every way of our nation and the world that we remember the one who died to forever set us free. Amen. Speaking of Jesus, from any and all spiritual tyranny and death that would forever separate us from the only Savior and eternal life possible for us. We need to remember him too. Because whatever happens to us in this world, we got another world to go to, an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And I firmly believe in all of that. Amen. And I have to tell you, sometimes I get so thirsty, Amen. Hallelujah. But I won't trouble you with my angst about seeing Jesus. Amen. Jesus fought the armies of hell that you and I might be truly free forever and forever and forever. Amen. My God. You know, saints, just as we cannot imagine the greatness of the kingdom of heaven, eye has not seen nor ear heard, says the scripture, the things that God has for those who love him. But Paul goes on to say, but they are revealed to those who love him. But I wanted to say, I don't think, and I've been realizing this, we cannot understand the profundity of evil. And thank God you'll never see it. Thank God you'll never see the true depth of wickedness. And this stuff that's in this world is nothing compared. Amen. To what hell and all this stuff is like. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. He's your liberator today. And if you don't know him, you need to know him as your true love liberator. The one who loved you so much that he gives you the ultimate freedom today. He fought the armies of hell that we might forever truly be free. In his holy name. Someone said, we celebrate Memorial Day once a year to remember those who died for freedom, but every week is a celebration of the memorial of Christ. David Whitten said, let us parallel our nation's Memorial Day with the Memorial Day of Christ, because for the Christian, every Sunday is a Memorial Day. It was and is God's only begotten Son, Jesus, Yeshua, who keeps us free. These pages kind of rolling up at the tip. I don't know what kind of paper this I got. So I'm reading on a curve. But not only will he do it for you and for me, but he'll do it for anyone. Anyone who believes in him and anyone who'll call upon him, he'll do it for you. He'll set you free. Freer than you ever been in your life. Amen. Amen. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, says the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Let's be seeking him. Amen. That he might continue to refine and continue to sanctify our lives. You know, and I'm impressed with the concept that if we will sanctify our lives, he'll sanctify us. In other words, if we'll willingly set ourselves apart to love him with all that we can and to be true to him, then there's a deep work that he'll do by his spirit in our hearts and in our lives that we cannot imagine, that we can't do ourselves. Amen? And, you know, and the reason so many don't know it because they don't venture on that journey. Get on that train. Amen. Where you're seeking him with your passionate heart, loving him with all your heart, all your soul and your mind and your strength. Amen. Amen. He'll do it for anyone who will believe. Why? Because John 3:16-18 says, For God, not Mr. Jones down the street, not the mayor of Houston.
That's right. That's right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Now that's a sweet word, saints.
Yes, yes.
He who believes, all you have to do is believe in him, and there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Amen. And guess what? Not only will God do it for an individual, but he'll do it for a whole nation. A whole nation. If that nation will repent. Now, when I was writing, and so I was understanding, and I was writing this, and I'm thinking, well, what nation, Lord, has, you know, really, you know, if you hear in the Spirit, he'll tell you. Yeah. And you know what he told me? It was Jonah in Nineveh. You remember that story? And so I'm just going to cut through some of the verses of Jonah 1, maybe hit a little bit 2, but then we're going to really look at chapter 3. In verse 1, chapter 1, he said, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai," believe it or not, that's the way it's pronounced, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was one of them, "Please, Mr. Custer, I really don't want to go." And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Shall be seeking him. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. When the mariners were afraid, they cried out to God, their God, and threw the cargo overboard, trying to lighten the ship so that, you know, they wouldn't sink. But Jonah had gone down the lower part of the ship and had gone asleep. And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lot." And so the lot fell on Jonah. And so they picked Jonah up, and after a little, you know, fall to raw conversation there, it threw him overboard. And verse 17 there said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. So the Lord spoke to the fish." Whoa! That's the kind of God I'm going to fall in love with. That's the kind of God I'm going to serve. A God that can speak to my big fish. Whatever's got a hold of you, he can speak to it. Amen. Hallelujah. So I should not have this much fun when I... Somehow, would I ever get through these things, you know? So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Now we go to chapter 3, and we're going to observe this together as I read. I'll put it on the screen for you. Because this will speak of how he'll do it for a nation. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying," the second time, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. Proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. See, that's the key. The greatest to the least of them. If we could get the greatest in our land, amen, to repent. If they would just call the nation to repent. We need our leaders to call us to repentance. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. Look at this. And laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So we do see very clearly here that just as God will forgive a repentant individual, so will he forgive a nation, a whole nation, if the people will repent. But a very important key to that process is the nation's leaders as well. So let us pray for our leaders. Amen. It's such a time that we need to be in that intercessory kind of mode, you know, as a body of believers, you know, for the many things that need to be prayed for. You know, it doesn't have to be about your thing, but God will call you together as his people to pray about his thing, you know, the thing that he has on his heart and on his mind. Amen. Amen. And if we'll pray about his thing, guess what he'll do? Take care of our thing. Amen. So let's pray for our nation's leaders and the leaders as well. Leader and the leaders. God can break any recalcitrant leader for the sake of the prayers of his people. Amen. God will do it if we will repent and seek him. You know, let me tell you something funny. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales, speaking about Jonah and the whale. The teacher said it was physically impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it was a very large animal, the throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a man. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonah. The teacher asked, what if Jonah went to hell? The little girl paused. Then you can ask him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:13-15. We're looking at God here, this awesome, loving Father God, who will do so much for us if we'll believe him. Yes. Believe his word. Stay in his word. Pray in the spirit. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. He said, now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Saints, these are serious times in which we need to pray. Serious times in which we need to repent, keep a short account with God and with one another. And we here at Shiloh, as a congregation, must continue to come together and pray. Amen. Have more time. There are times the whole congregation ought to come and just pray. And maybe we ought to do that on a Sunday. Let prayer be our message as we cry out to God. But understand that our God is alive and well. Amen. And He will do it for you. He will do it for you. Well, praise the Lord. I got halfway through, but I feel like I've said so much. Yep. Well, praise the Lord.